she was murdered.
What's up, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And today, I have some four deadly women, some weird-ass bitches through history.
I'm so excited.
That's what I've titled it.
Weird-ass bitches through history.
Actually, it's just three. Excuse me. Four would have been really fucking long, and I didn't want to put you through that. But these are just, like, some random ones that just, I guess, tickled my fancy throughout reading.
Nice.
Randomly. Cool. And I put them in order in terms of when they happened, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
We have chronological now.
I know.
I'm like so I'm organized. You may have heard of these women, at least one. The first one up. So, Deadly Viper number one.
Deadly Viper.
The Blood Countess. This is Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh yeah. I do know this.
Right?
Yeah.
Apparently, she's a huge inspiration to the concept of vampires that we have.
Oh, okay.
Because of some things I'm going to dive into. So some people actually believe that she was the first and that Count Dracula is actually designed after her.
Hmm. Interesting.
She was some inspiration interesting that way. So born August 7th, 1566, I believe, to August 21st, 1614.
Oh.
So real fucking long time ago.
Yeah.
In Hungary and Slovakia. That's where she's from. And also her like family is part, I don't know, they like owned Transylvania. They were like part of the governors of Transylvania.
So. Vampires.
Yeah, vampires. so she was born from the renowned Bathory family that comes from the Kingdom of Hungary. So I don't really, it's like Elizabeth Bathory. I don't know how to pronounce her name. But anyway, the family is famously related to Stephen Bathory, the king of Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and the Duke of Transylvania.
So, okay. Yeah. Vampires.
So she was a fucking weirdo, just so you know. Some historical analysis tells us that she grew up around violence since her father's guards would oftentimes like torture the help.
Aww.
I guess guards were just terrible back in the day.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I guess everyone was kind of terrible back in the day.
This is some weird ass shit that I'm going to cover. And you just like sit there thinking like, what the fuck were they thinking? It's just weird. So anyway, some say that young Elizabeth witnessed a captured thief being sewn into the stomach of a dying horse and left to perish.
What the fuck?
So that probably scarred her for life.
Jesus.
Anyway, she wasn't like
wait,
against
what?
It.
Okay,
thing.
You just glossed over that. Like
know,
it was,
know,
what
know,
did the horse do wrong?
So, no, it's just like a weird form of like, fuck you to this guy. Punishment, I guess.
Sewn
he was sewn to like the stomach of a dying horse and left to perish. Like, yeah. So I guess he just was left there too.
What the fuck?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention my sources. I was like, I don't know. These were the sources. History Today, How Stuff Works, and Ripley's.com.
Cool.
Nice.
Anyway, so, yeah. So she saw that happening. A guy just getting sewn to the horse and left to die. The horse is dying, too, apparently, I guess.
Standard. Standard fare as a child.
So, yeah. She never disliked it, I want to say. Elizabeth has always been drawn to, like, kind of a dark thing throughout her childhood.
Same.
So she's said to have some extreme bouts of rage, and some even believe that she was epileptic.
Hmm.
Yeah, because she would like I guess have these like bouts of rage and like fits and then have a seizure.
That's weird.
And she was bisexual.
That's interesting. By pride on this podcast.
But yeah, so anyway, so she was married to fucking okay I'm gonna butcher this. She was married to Ferenc Nassady, the whitest
I don't like
can say that.
That.
At the age of 11 or 14, it's like roughly estimated, like between the ages of 11 to 14, so a child bride.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was gifted with a whole freaking castle from this guy. He was like, I want to give you everything, and yeah, very good to her. But he was a what's it called?
I want a fucking
commander
castle.
In chief. So she gets a whole fucking castle. Not to mention that he also like built her a torture chamber because he was like, I'm pretty sure my
Excuse
chick's
me?
Into some weird shit. And she was like, yeah, he took
so
all
he
of
wasn't
her...
kink shaming her.
No, not at all. Actually, he's actually her partner in crime through most of these things.
Wow.
So I believe that he was like holding her back in a way that like he would be like, so we like to kill people, but you know, you're taking it a little too far.
And she's like, no more.
Yeah, she was insane. She's fucking weird. Anyway, so he made her torture chamber like to the details that she had demanded.
True love.
So it may all sound like all fun and games, but Elizabeth was often left alone for days on end holding down the fort because her husband was a commander-in-chief of the Hungarian troops. So he was always gone, really into his career. So during these periods, Elizabeth spent most of her time with her aunt, who was basically a witch. I'm understanding.
An actual witch, or they were like, she's a witch. Burn her.
Actual witch. Oh, like, okay. Same wish
or being. Oh, I love your voice every time. All witches are.
Burn her.
It's Monty Python.
It's not that all witches are devil worshippers. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. She was, anyway.
She was.
Black magic. Black magic.
In this instance, that is true.
Her uncle was a devil worshipping alchemist. So really interesting field, Ted.
I wish alchemy was still a viable
fucking cool
career
trade.
Choice.
I know, right? I was because like, I have to say this because that's a cool title.
Yeah, I want to be that.
Yeah.
Can I grow up and be that?
What exactly is an alchemist? Just side note.
They like...
What? I defer to you.
I have the fantasy version. So it's just like the practice of science of trying to turn one or transmutate one thing into another. So like lead to gold, that whole thought of like... with certain chemistry that they might be able to change what something is made of just based off of the elemental part of it.
Right.
So there was like a bit of science to it, but not full enough
for it to continue.
Yeah, for it to actually be viable.
Oh.
The only way I could think to describe that was like, go watch Full Metal Alchemist and then we'll talk about it.
I know. That's not a real factual place to refer to. Anyway.
It's okay. My nerd ass brain in me was like, that's all I think of.
Same. Yeah.
So there Robot we are, brother. Little Lizzie, just learning this devil worshipping alchemy. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But basically, there's also a rumor that she was like so bored that she had an affair with a lower level lover and bore a daughter.
Have you ever just been so bored that you go find yourself a lower level lover?
Low tier lover.
And the daughter she like kept hidden from the world, which is pretty fucked up.
Oh, that's really fucked.
Yeah. So anyway, during her long marriage tenacity, she bore 5 children. So yeah. Three Jesus daughters Christ. And 2 sons. And their mom was fucking insane. Just saying.
Their mom was fucking insane.
So, as I mentioned, she was a really easily bored person. She found entertainment inflicting cruel punishments on her household staff. So that's where it started. She was like, just this little girl. I'm imagining just this little girl with like a huge fucking castle to herself. Like, I'm bored.
I'm bored.
Someone bring me a servant so I can kick them in the face for fun.
Oh my god.
Honestly. This is incredible. Because then like her husband just got it. She's like, how dare he leave me? I'm going to have sex with someone else. Just like being wild, basically.
She out here wiling out.
My god.
So apparently abusing your household staff was like really highly encouraged. So everyone was like, good. Yes.
No.
They should be treated that way.
Jesus.
Of course. So yeah, that was awful. Like, that just was like fuel to her flame, basically. She's like, yes.
She's like, how can I make it worse?
So then, like I said, her husband and her, so she found a fancy, mostly torturing women. Yeah, so she and her husband would just fucking torture girls, which we'll get into a little bit more details about how they did that. But anyway, but like I said, he was kind of holding her back. I'm pretty sure that a lot of the time, like, people are just, like, unaware that a woman could be, like, capable of this kind of torture and, like, wanting this. So he was just like, you know, you gotta tone it down.
Right.
Lizzie.
Like, people are gonna look at me, so if you could stop...
So, and I guess that was, like, her partner in crime, essentially, and he passed away. Mm-hmm. So that's when her cruel entertainment was taken to a whole new level.
Yeah, because now he wasn't able to hold her back, right?
Yeah, and she also was just like, fuck it!
Do whatever I want!
So, yeah, she discovered she loved torturing and killing young girls, sometimes men, but mostly girls. At first, they were servants of the castle, including, like, daughters of local peasants, just because she was, like, bring me a peasant daughter. They mean nothing. But later included girls sent by her to her from local families, like to learn good manners. Fucked up. They like, would definitely be sent there.
Hey, fuck you.
Yeah, they're just like,
you're
sorry.
Being bad. I'm going to send you to Lizzie down the castle. Yeah. So.
Sorry, we lost your kid. Don't know what happened.
What do you mean? We sent her sure here for good manners. Yeah. And then she
gone.
Don't know where she went. She gone.
Torture the fuck out of them. Make them hell polite.
She dead.
So not only did her husband know about this behavior, but it turns out he also enjoyed killing people and like showed her different like military tactics of how to torture them.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. During one of Liz's experiments of torturing and killing, she felt a few drops of blood splatter onto her face and she was like extremely turned on.
Okay. Ew.
And felt it drying, and because it was like drying, she felt that it was making her skin like tighter and firmer. Which, nah, bitch, your skin's just dry because the blood is cracking. Like it's like clay, you know.
Nah, bitch.
I thought you were an alchemist.
Thought you were an alchemist.
So, she was convinced that the blood was like an effective elixir to preserve youth, which is where the vampirism comes in. Because she basically was, like, drinking it, bathing in it. Mm. She was officially obsessed with blood.
Blood tastes like shit.
Yeah, blood tastes awful.
Ew. Like, nickels.
Yeah. Ew.
So she was, she even created a new torture device that was a spinoff on the Iron Maiden, if you guys have seen that before.
Yeah.
Mm. She called it the Iron Virgin. Well, basically, it's, like, a cage that encloses, like, a whole person's body. But this one in particular was designed, it was like a form of torture. They would put him in there. It's like a singular like prison cell, essentially. And you just get like starved to death. You can't move really. I know they're so intense with torture back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this one was built by Lizzie. She made it specifically designed for like a woman's body, like including the curves and everything. And it had fitted blades on the inside. So just like stabbing.
Mm.
It was weird too. She like put the blades in like the curvy. She was really fucking weird.
There's got to be some psychology around that, right?
I mean, yeah, the dead horse guy.
It's all going back to the dead horse guy.
I just keep thinking to the psychology. I'm like, why did you want this specifically? Well, you have so many underlying issues here. And I'm just like, I'm not qualified to be doing this.
There's a lot of unpacking. Yeah.
Just throw the whole thing away, though. Just throw it away.
So a woman died a slow, painful death in this iron fortress. But there was like a little spot on the bottom to like drain out the blood into a bathtub. Yeah, because Ew. Liz was like, yes, yes.
Give me all the blood.
Yeah. So she even drank gross blood.
Like shit.
Ew, God. I only thing I can imagine is like blood into her vagina. Like that's going up in there and it's getting in there.
Ugh. You know? No. Nope.
Nope.
Don't like that.
Mm-mm.
Why would you bathe in someone else? Okay. Whatever. Whatever.
She's gonna keep me young forever.
No.
Anyway.
It's a fucking biohazard. Got it out.
So her torture in her torture chamber, she was pretty well known to bite chunks of flesh off of her victims' cheeks and breasts.
Okay, excuse me, what?
Yeah, she likes to do that. No, I don't think she would eat it. She would just like to just, like, bite the fuck off. Out of it. Yeah.
I hate this.
I like how there was like silence.
I hate that.
Yeah, and one unfortunate girl was even forced to cook and eat her own flesh.
What the fuck?
She used to cut them with scissors. Cut them with scissors, sticking needles into their lips, or burning them with red hot irons.
Oh,
was a fancy.
No.
There's all kinds of different things she used to do to the genitals too, like bees to honey, honey to bees. Yeah,
no.
Just like this weird shit, burning their genitals.
Jesus.
Leaving her victims naked in the snow, dousing them with water, and letting them freeze to death. She was like just a fucking weirdo, and nobody stopped her. It was like this elite kind of thing to do. I wouldn't be surprised if others were in on it.
Yeah, willing to bet like other really high class people were watching.
Yeah, so she was just like going rampage, right? They like some numbers estimate up to 650 victims.
Jesus.
Yeah, because if she's doing this like for years, because she lived pretty like long. That's why some people were like, what if the blood is working? She lived like fairly long for her time. What I'm guessing is it was just like she became immune to a lot of stuff from the blood. I don't know.
Because it's a fucking biohazard.
Yeah. So she also used to keep count of her victims like in a notebook, and it was like pages and pages long. So, since her family headed the local government, Bathory's crimes were ignored until about 1610. So, King Matthias finally intervened because Bathory had begun finding victims among daughters of local nobles. So, it was like, people were literally running out of daughters.
Yeah. We killed all the poor ones. Yes. Now we gotta move up.
I don't want to kill any men. Anyway, so, but King, in January 1611, Bathory and her cohorts were put on trial for 80 counts of murder. all were convicted, but only Bathory escaped execution. They basically put her into a room of the castle confined for the rest of her life. So she survived in there only for 3 years.
Wow. Without the blood.
Yep. Yeah, right? Janae's like, she's a vampire.
She's a vampire.
She is a vampire. Holy,
she's a vampire, yeah. So that was deadly viper number one.
Wow.
Elizabeth.
Wow.
Our next damsel of distress.
Yes. Very good.
The demon midwife.
Miyuki
Ishikawa.
Yes.
Miyuki Ishikawa. I'm sorry.
That's a tight name, too.
1897. This bitch was old. She was born then.
Damn.
But her date of death is unknown, actually. I couldn't find it anywhere.
She's still alive.
I know, right?
She a vampire,
well,
1897,
and her crimes took place, like, in the late 1940s, so...
Jesus Christ, wow. She lived forever.
Yeah, right? Okay, again, I do think it's important to give a little background of the times and what was happening in Japan. So this person is Japanese. And she was basically... Her childhood and everything is really unknown, also. I couldn't find anything about her background. But anyway... To give some preset to what was happening in Japan at the time, Japan was overcoming the chaos of World War II. So the country suffered a terrible social crisis due to the traumatic consequences of being in the war, the atomic bomb,
mm-hmm.
the economic turmoil every country experiences during and right after such a huge conflict. And the list could go on. Japanese citizens had experienced a huge surge of pregnancies after the war. Not sure if this was because of not being able to or slash wanting to have a baby during the war, or hopes that maybe babies would bring a positive outlook on life after all this Great Depression was happening.
Yeah, that's what happened here, too, after.
Yeah, the baby boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this was kind of unheard of. Our baby boom was nowhere near this one.
Not even surprised.
Yeah, they were having babies at a rapid rate. Estimated 2.6 million babies were born between 1947 to 1949.
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah, that's 2 years.
Big boom.
It's a fucking huge ass boom.
Wow.
So that's insane, right?
Yeah.
So it turns out the economy was not built for this baby boom. And many parents were left without resources to raise a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the time, it was also illegal to do anything to prevent pregnancy. So no birth control,
nice.
No abortion. Yeah, definitely not an option. I know. Now, where does Miyuki come into all of this? Well, she wants to help the situation no matter what it takes.
Uh-oh.
Very extreme. So, yeah, like I mentioned, her early life is unknown, but she was a midwife at the Kotobuki Maternity Hospital. Eventually, she even became the director of that ward, so you can imagine, like, really successful, really cool lady.
So pretty well-known in the community.
Hell yeah, really well-known in the community. Probably a good reason why she got away with a lot of her crimes, because people trusted her. I honestly am torn about how I see her, whether she's a villain or... like a business person, it's kind of weird. Like, you'll see how it goes. It's almost like she was just being an abortion clinic.
Interesting.
But
okay.
Almost way more inhumane. So, hold on. She basically saw an economic opportunity in all these babies. She figured that since these babies would be living a life of suffering and poverty, it was better if they died.
Oh.
She would help these parents kill their baby knowingly. So parents would have the baby
mm-hmm.
and then give it to her and she would kill it. And they knew that that was what was going to happen.
Jesus. This one's interesting.
Right? We would never, ever probably hear of something like this in our country because we have abortion clinics and like it's probably way more common to do it. But she was like definitely out of need. People really needed her services. And you're going to be shocked at the end of what happens.
It's just so interesting because it's like... Thus far, I do not want to demonize her for what she's doing.
Right?
Although, like, you're killing babies.
And she bore a bunch of babies.
But, yeah.
She helped.
It's interesting.
Helped. Yeah. So. Miyuki's setup was not secretive. Many people knew that this was going on, including, like, the local law enforcement. Some nurses even reported it, and nothing came of it, so they resigned. Nobody did anything to stop her.
Weird.
The operation and need for her services grew so much, she realized that she needed help in supporting her little business. She included her husband and a doctor at the hospital. They started charging for their services. So it was like everyone had a little role to do. Miyuki would take care of the killings. Her husband would then collect all the money. And then Dr. Nakayama was in charge of creating false death certificates. So it was a whole operation.
Damn.
Interesting.
Yeah. They would like convince parents to pay them because they claimed that the fee was much less than the parents would have spent on their child anyway. Mm. Which is so fucked up, in my opinion.
It's very fucked up.
In 1948, police found the remains of 5 newborn babies. They then launched a search, an investigation, that led to a temple where police discovered over 30 baby bodies. And an additional 40 at a mortician's house.
What? Jesus Christ.
What? 75?
That just alone. And that's like probably not the rest of it. Yeah.
No,
they probably
not
couldn't
at all.
Find everything.
I'm fucking stressed.
Like when they got caught, they weren't exactly like cooperative with the law enforcement, but they weren't like, it's really interesting what happened. But I think those places are haunted and they should be burnt down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They should make a horror movie out of this, like the haunted baby killings or something. But anyway, here is the kicker. So in the trial, Miyuki was like I said, she wasn't exactly cooperating. Like she didn't say that the bodies were her fault. She didn't tell police where the rest of the bodies were found or anything, where to find them. Basically no record of whose the babies were or anything like that. So during the trial though, she convinced the jury that the parents are almost more guilty than she is because they knew what they were sealing her baby's, like their baby's fate. And the jury like believed her. They're like, yeah, you're right. Wow. You were just doing a service, I suppose.
Interesting.
Which like abortion clinics
provide similar services.
Yeah. Except for the baby's like not born.
Right. It's not
that's
like
what made it so terrible.
A whole ass baby.
Yeah, so anyway, she was only sentenced
to 8.
That's what
people think that those clinics are, though.
Yeah, they do. They don't have any concept of what that actually looks like. It's, like, very medical. It's not like someone's just, like,
procedure.
Fucking you know, taking so your like baby and killing it.
Yeah, clinics are not at all like this.
No.
So this was
dismantled.
See what happens when you get rid of that option, then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's dangerous, and the country would have had, if they were able to use protection or something like that, all these babies would not be happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, she was only sentenced to 8 years of prison.
Damn.
Because people really believed her when she said it was the parents' faults. She is suspected to have killed between 103 to 169 babies.
Wow.
That is a big number.
Terrifying, right?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she was out. Like, that's it. After her 8 years, she was fine. Could you imagine that? Like, being the... She, like, in some want to examine her psychology, like, behind all this, but she wasn't, like... She would kill the babies by neglect. So it wasn't like she would strangle them or stab them, which is even worse in a way.
Yeah, because you would think, like, just get it over with.
I think she did eventually do that, and that was when they would strangle them, yeah.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. This is the one that made you do, like, the 3 stories, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because it was, A, short, since there's not a lot. There was nothing that happened. Like, people didn't really think it was as morally unjust as some of the killers that we've researched before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Interesting.
Weird,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can understand now why the moral does pose a question in this.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I'm like... Like whose side am I on?
Yeah, it's an ethical dilemma.
Because the babies would have been, well, I think in some cases way worse off. Yeah. Yeah, especially if they were given to like some sort of adoption home or something. You never know with those people either.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So up next in our last damsel of distress, Juana so Barraza, the old lady killer, or El Matabajitas.
I love it.
Born in 1957 in Hidalgo, Mexico. Her parents were Trinidad Barraza, a police officer, and Justa Samperio, an alcoholic prostitute, to give you some background on her childhood, which was absolutely terrible.
Interesting. Great.
Yeah. So 3 months after Juana was born, her mother left her father and pursued an adulterous relationship with Refugio, the man who would later become Juana's father figure. As a child, Juana never learned to read, so she was, like, extremely neglected. She barely spoke to her mother during infancy, so there's some, like, developmental issues there. Her mother was extremely neglectful and abusive to Juana. She, at age 12, her mom pimped her out to a guy named Jose in exchange for 3 beers.
Nice.
Jesus. Just to give you some perspective.
A plus.
Yeah.
Great parenting.
Fuck. So, Jose began to abuse and rape Juana for 4 years and even impregnating her at the ages of 13, 16, and 16.
Jesus.
Yeah, so all of her pregnancies resulted in miscarriages, which I can't decide if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
After her mother died of cirrhosis, Juana moved to Mexico City. And she did have 4 more kids, but I'm not sure with the who, like a new man or that other guy. But her firstborn was killed in a gang shooting.
Wow. Like the baby?
I am not sure.
Oh, okay. It's like just a baby in a fucking gang shooting? Maybe.
After that, she was like raising 3 kids on her own. So, yeah, super sad life.
Yeah.
But it's not an excuse for what she continues to do. So, during the 1980s and 1990s, Barasa held a variety of jobs, one of which was being a masked Mexican wrestler.
Fuck yeah.
I love that.
Dama del Silencio, or the Lady of Silence. She gave herself that name because she's actually pretty shy. So, yeah.
That's cute. I know, right? I like it. Yeah.
I guess the wrestling gig didn't score too much money, though.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Lost my... Sorry.
You good? That.
Oh, yeah. Because Juana resorted to stealing from people.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she later developed a plan with her friend Araceli Martinez to trick and steal from the elderly. Juana and Araceli would dress up as nurses to swindle their way into old people's homes. So they'd be like, hey, I'm a social worker. Let me in. And they would like scope out the place to see if they were worth any loot. However, Araceli was dating a corrupt police officer, which was like, Jesus, all these corrupt police officers. Okay. Who together they planned to extortionate Juana.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So after one of Juana's burglaries, the corrupt officer met her after a burglary that she had committed alone and demanded 12,000 pesos in return for not arresting her. So she almost got caught there, but yeah, bribery.
Bribery.
In 2000, Juana retired from wrestling, thank God, and was extremely desperate. After all, she was taking care of 4 kids. Three. She didn't necessarily quit wrestling altogether. She just stopped pursuing it as her main career. So brutal murders of elderly people in Mexico City began to increase in 1998. Fueling press speculation about the existence of a serial killer dubbed El Mata Viejitas. So, they assumed that the person would be male. Yet again.
No.
No, señores. It's not male. So, Juana was most definitely the cause of this uptick in numbers. Probably the main and only cause, because, yeah. Her first victim was Maria de la Luz González Anaya. God damn.
I love that.
I know. Yeah, who was killed on November 25th in 2002. Maria made the mistake of saying some comments to Juana that she perceived as derogatory. Infuriated, Juana beat and strangled her with her bare hands.
God. Wow. Damn.
So, yeah. Juana herself later states that these killings were because of her mom. Yeah, she was basically imagining her mom most of the time. So that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's like Ed Kemper, except he actually got to kill his mother.
Yeah, and these are old ladies, so weird. By November 5th, 2003, police had enough evidence and witness testimonies to believe that there was a serial killer involved in all this, because they were, like, in denial this whole time, and that it was a tall person with rough factions who was posing as a city council nurse or social worker to gain victims' trust. So again, they thought that this was a male the whole time. So, but they didn't want to admit that the killings were by one person because they were trying to pin these crimes on a president at the time, just like claiming that under his presidency that there were these uptick in murders because of him. But if they hadn't been so stubborn and political about it, they could have caught this person way before.
Great.
Yeah, because, of course. Anyway, let's see. In December, the police released a wanted poster with 2 eyewitness sketches of the Mata Viejitas. One was feminine looking. They thought it was either homosexual, so they knew they were looking for a homosexual male who was either transsexual or transvestite. Great.
No
so
way
that's
it could
what
be a woman.
No,
know
no, they were like, no, no. That's what these sketches were of. So one was looking rather feminine and the other really masculine. But the sketches were labeled as persons of interest. There was no mention of their clothing. It wasn't until the following year that police had finally admitted of an existence of the serial killer. Yeah.
So prideful. Yeah. So prideful.
So most police believed the killer was either a homosexual man. Yes, I mentioned that. They arrested 49 transvestite and transsexual prostitutes because of this.
Great.
Yeah, let's just harass the fucking...
The poor people.
Yeah, the poor sex working community.
In mid-2005, Juana began dating a taxi driver known as El Frijol. Or the bean.
The bean.
I know, I was like, can you just imagine that? Hey, baby. Pulls up in the taxi. I'm the frijol. Get in.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about Casey and him.
Oh, God.
So he supposedly helped Juana commit some of these attacks.
What
is what up
the
with
fuck?
This, right? Yeah, like,
he's just
all
like,
these
yeah,
days,
I'll
like,
sign
you're
up for that.
Too?
His
sure.
name's the bean.
El frijol en la mata viejita. I know it's like the
real duo.
They like are wrestling people. We should draw a sketch for the shirts for
that That'd be so good.
By this time, the killings occurred much more frequently. They changed from occurring in the daytime to the nighttime, which is like super surprising that nobody has caught her if she was doing this during the daytime.
Yeah.
Juana went door to door, approaching her victims, posing as a social worker or city council, dressing in all white. She later actually acquired a real nurse's uniform, so I can see why they would be letting her in.
Right.
She like carried a bag of medical tools, offering help to give people their medicine, which is super sad. And if they were wealthy, she would steal from them.
Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm.
If her victims were distracted, she would strangle them directly. If not, she would beat them first using her special wrestling moves. She would strangle
You're
them.
Just wrestling old people.
Basically.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I know.
Nacho Libre, but
she would also
murder.
Find a ligature around their house and leave them there.
Great.
So, yeah. A particular murder of the mother of a prominent Mexican criminologist, Luis Gonzalez, caused police to take action, finally.
Jesus.
Yeah, after one important person dies, they're like, no, we gotta stop this.
How long was this going on before?
This was like fucking 4 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think she got caught in 08. So this was like, what she started fuck? In 2000. So like a course of 8 years of like them just fucking... Because there's even a story that she told that she was in the police department like advertising one of her matches on the news.
Uh-huh.
And it was like exhilarating to her because they didn't notice at all.
Wow.
There's even a sketch that she like stands by like in a picture.
Yeah.
And they found it when they were looking up her house and she's just standing by the sketch like as like a ha-ha mocking police. A lot like our normal serial killers, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they formed a special operation to find her. They would actually, this was super criticized because the police would use old women as bait. They'd be like,
no.
We're watching you go into this park at night or whatever. We're going to make sure we catch this guy.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Yeah, old person. I know you can't run or anything.
Fucking
but, like,
assholes, right?
Can you be bait?
Yeah, so finally, Juana was spotted after killing a landlady, and they were able to catch her.
Jesus.
Yeah. So although Juana couldn't read, she would have numerous newspaper clippings all over her house. Like, she was really proud of her crimes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, her victims were all lined up. Like I said, she took that picture. In 2008, she was tried for 30 murders. Her number of victims is unclear, too. Like, over 30, for sure.
Wow.
And was found guilty of 16 of them. I don't know why. And 12 robberies. So the convictions were mostly for murders, and they would. She would later be tied to a lot of fingerprint evidence when they were able to specialize in that.
Jeez.
So she was sentenced to 759 years in prison.
Wow.
Yep. And she'll be paroled at the age of 100 if she makes it to then.
Wow.
And that's it. Those are our damsels of distress, the deadly vipers, the weird ass bitches throughout history. At least my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, those are interesting. I like how you pick something from different parts of the world too.
Yeah. Yeah, the most famous woman here in the U.S. is Eileen Wuornos, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised by
there
that.
There was this really weird one that was like a baby farmer, which was going to freak you guys out a lot.
I'm sorry, what?
Wait.
She was a baby farmer.
Describe what a baby farmer is.
I know, that's what I was going to get into. Her name is Amelia Dyer, and she, a baby farm is essentially, I know, this was like a real business in the U.K., in England, like for years. People would send their kid to a baby farmer, and the baby farmer was supposed to like take care of like essentially like an all year round babysitter, but they were supposed to find like houses, homes for these babies. Most of them were murders.
Was it like an adoption scenario where they're almost supposed to find like their new parents for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like supposedly, or yeah, or they were like a foster home essentially.
Oh.
So kind of like that. Yeah, kind of like our foster care system, which is super scary.
Oh, they're all baby farmers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're real baby farmers. It's just not called that.
I hate this.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You should talk about that because I'm very interested.
Okay, I can talk
about
learn
more.
That. Maybe I should do UK killers.
Yeah.
Because they are fucking weird.
Yeah, some of them are fucking strange.
The bad teeth. Just kidding.
No, it's true. Fucking went back on that.
We'll cover Amelia Dyer one time, the baby farmer.
Cool.
Disgusting.
All right. Come back next week.
Bye.
We have interesting stuff coming for you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.